behind the screen. There's a world of pure imagination behind the screen.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Paul Goebel Show. I'm your host, Paul Goebel, and thank you for joining us. We got a great show today. Joining me, as always, is my co-host and best friend, Jim Bruce.
Hey, everybody.
And joining Jim, as always, is his co-host and best friend, Tom Griffin.
Hello.
Tom, how's it going?
Okay.
That's good. All right. Glad to hear it. And our guest today is a funny gentleman you may remember from his work on Malcolm in the Middle or Boston Legal or most recently on Weeds, where he was very funny. Oh, and of course, you can't leave out the Blue Collar Comedy Show.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Gary Anthony Williams is our guest today.
Thank you. It feels good.
Welcome to be here. Welcome, Gary. It's great to have you here.
Well, thank you for being on
it.
What
the fuck is wrong with me? I was just telling you that the kids love Malcolm in the Middle, and they watch all the time. And I said, you'll never guess who's going to be on my show. Stevie's dad is going to be on the show. And they're like, how old is he? Because, of course, on the show, you play much older to be Stevie's dad.
Yeah, I did, and I was like 10 years younger than I am now.
So. That's right.
Yeah.
And you had to be like Bryan Cranston, you know, as great as he is. He was pretty old guy.
He was in the 90s.
And you had to play like you were the buddy. All the buddies, like the poker scene especially, is one of my favorite episodes. We guys are all playing poker, and he's like the only white guy there.
Yeah.
But all those guys are kind of older in that scene. Like, they're all older character actors.
There's one guy who was younger, Jonathan Williams. Okay. No relation at all.
to
me.
Oh, right,
to Gary Williams.
Okay, got it.
Though we may have been owned by the same people at some point.
Most likely.
Was younger than I am. The rest of them were just old fucks.
But
not in a negative
way. Well, that's, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old, too. But I just shot this commercial, and, when I went in and read for it, the guy I read for, because they were pairing up black guys and white guys. And the guy I read with was really young. We were supposed to be like security guards, and he looked like a security guard in great shape. Young black guy, I look like myself. But then they changed it to where we were two like musicians, like playing a prom or something. We were in these bad tuxes, and so he was much older. And I get on the set, and he says, hey, my son Googled you. And I was like, oh, that's a little weird. He goes, he's an actor too. He's in that phone commercial, the one where the guy's in a restaurant and they're talking about whoop, there it is.
Uh-huh.
You know that commercial? Mm. That's his son. So he's like in his 20s, maybe, you know, late 20s. And I was like, and I wanted to say, wow, how old are you? Because you have an old son, but I didn't. But I thought, am I that old now that I'm hooked up, I'm paired up with these old guys?
Well, that's kind of. I don't know if you should ever like ask somebody how old they are, but like going through a wallet is not, like, that's not nothing negative. I've been through several ladies' purses.
True.
Just to figure out their ages.
And it's also, it's a one-stop thing. You get all the information right there.
Yeah.
Natural hair color, natural eye color.
Social security number.
Social security, sure. Yeah. If there's a wedding ring in there, how much cash they have on them.
Yeah.
You get their credit score. It's all good.
They have their credit score in their wallet?
Well, you can tell. Do they have a lot of credit cards? If they do, they probably have a pretty good credit score.
Okay.
Do I only have like a Target card? Hey, here's something great that happened to me. Speaking of Target cards,
I
have
approved. Congratulations.
I am the man. I went out to eat the other day with my girlfriend, and I go to pay, and I hand her my credit card. I think I'm handing her my Bank of America debit card. And she's like, oh, there's something wrong with this. I go, oh, really? Here, run it again. And she's like, I don't know. And she goes and asks somebody, and she goes, oh, we don't take these. And she hands it back to me. It's my Target card.
Oh!
Because they're both red. And I thought, oh, yeah, you don't take Target cards here? Well, all right, try my actual Visa. But I thought, how fucking dumb. I mean, yeah, I was dumb. I'm going to own that. But she took it and ran it twice. And then asked somebody, what? What's going on? What am I doing wrong? And that person just went, as a Target card.
Yeah, you could have just, like, handed her a sandwich wrapper.
Right?
And she went, oh, I'm sorry, it's not going through.
Here, try this straw. Try that. Sorry, I think you're overdrawn. They're asking me to cut up the straw.
Yeah. Oh. My manager's telling me we don't take garbage. Sorry. Sorry.
Well, let's talk about one of the best things that you were on, in my opinion, Boston Legal.
Okay. I was also on Cousin Skeeter, which was a puppet show.
Oh, I remember
years
that.
Years ago. So, but
he was
Boston
the only
Legal
puppet on there, right?
He was, yeah.
So it wasn't all puppets. It was dudes acting with puppets.
Yeah, yeah, man.
With one puppet. Who was the voice of the puppet?
I have no idea. I had just moved here to L.A. Like, hey, you know, I'd be on Cousin Skeeter. I'm like, all right. I just remember dressed up as a construction worker sitting in the back of a truck talking to a puppet all day.
Nice. That was a Nickelodeon show, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Early Nickelodeon, yeah. But you were a regular on Boston Legal,
yeah.
And it was a cool character. People don't remember. Gary was a transvestite who sometimes thought he was Oprah. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was very cool, and you got a job working there. And now I loved Boston Legal because it had Shatner and James Spader.
Yeah.
That is a great show to me. I will watch anything they do together. And, you know, obviously America loved it. They won a lot of Emmys, and it was a great fucking show. But what was that like working with the two of them? Because that, I mean, they're both pretty odd.
Yeah, immediately Spader took me under his wing because I was just there as a guest star for one episode, possibly recurring.
Right.
Spader took me under his wing immediately. Like at the end of that week, you know, like we had already buddied up so much.
Nice.
So much that I had just bought a new house and we worked over the weekend. He came back on a Monday. He goes, Gary, I dropped by your home this weekend. It's like, I wasn't at home. He's like, I know. I looked in all your windows. I was like, yeah, right. And he's like, no. And then he describes to me 360 degrees around my house. But honestly, dude, he is as cool as he gets. I do shows at the Groundlings. He comes out there all the time. Nice. He and his son to see shows. He is like the greatest, coolest. He's odd. He's who he is.
Right.
But he really is a cool guy. Like, that's, I can't awesome. Say anything bad. I can say a lot of odd things about him.
Well, yeah.
But I can't say anything bad about him. Legally, I can't.
But I mean, he's made no bones about that. He's not a straight edge normal guy.
Right.
He has kind of a weird life, but not like anything crazy. But I think, like, a guy like that who does so many. First of all, there's so many interesting career choices.
Yeah.
Stuff like Crash and Boston Legal, and then this latest thing on The Office,
right.
Which was so fucking great. You would expect, yeah, he's probably not the most normal dude. That's the kind of guy who would drive by your house.
He also told me something interesting once. He said, I don't really like to work. Like, you know, if I'll work a show, then when I need money, I'll go do a movie. Mm-hmm. But I don't really like to work. I said, what do you like to do? He's like, I like to read. Go get lunch with a friend. Walk back home. Like, that's funny. That's his joy, right?
Well, we talked about him when we were talking about The Office, and I remember seeing him in an interview. I think it was on Conan O'Brien, where he said he loves to just stay in bed like all day long. And he said, and we talked about this on the show. He said his favorite jobs are ones he can do from his bed.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
He did a voiceover for Frasier from his bed.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like, you know, he's one of the callers. And he just did it on the phone from his bed. I was like, that must be pretty great. You just sit in your bed. And
he's a cool guy. My kid,
paid.
He will not come to my house again because he, that's what he says. He said, every time I come, you're doing something racial. Like, the first time he came over, I was sitting in the back by the pool with my kid eating watermelon.
Well.
And then the next time he came, it was before the day of the Emmys, and I was out back shining my shoes, and he walks up and he just looks at me and he just shakes his head no, you know, he's like, I'm never coming over again.
The next day
I was raping a white lady.
I'm teaching him how to throw spears.
But I get what he said.
What about William Shatner?
Once again, you know, I've heard so many rumors about Shatner, and I never saw the dude late for work.
Right.
I never even saw him miss a line. This isn't 2 years that I'm there like every episode.
Okay.
He is like as sharp as you could imagine.
That's great.
And like really welcoming.
Yeah.
Like, really, yeah. There are nice. Plenty of people in the business I could say, ah, they're dicks. He's not one of them. Like, such a nice guy.
That was another thing I liked about that show is every time a new cast member would join, like John Larroquette, I'd be like, oh, I can't believe John Larroquette's on the show now. One more great reason to watch, you know? And even, like, I was never a big fan of Murphy Brown, but when Candace Bergen joined, I thought, oh, a good, strong woman on the show, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then when Tom Selleck would come on, and it was like
mustache.
Right, he had a great mustache.
Yeah,
who doesn't love a mustache, right?
Needs a mustache, right?
Everybody loves a mustache or a beard,
yeah.
Like your wife.
Oh,
wait a minute. That has two meanings, and I think he took the worst.
But they would always use my favorite actors on the show, and just for guest stars, and that one episode where the dude came in and they used the old footage of that black and white show that
Brilliant
she was on.
Episode.
I was so fucking amazed by that. And just the whole idea, first of all, the idea was brilliant, but it was put together so well, and it was cast well, and I was like, boy, if they could only get, was it James Whitmore, whoever it was, if they could only get that guy, that would have been perfect, but I think he's dead, obviously.
It was a show called Son of the Defender.
Right.
And I think the original show was The Defender, right?
With Robert Reed and E.G. Marshall.
And then they had old footage of William Shatner as a young guy, young lawyer, mixing him in. And he would say great, you know how the show, we always talk to the camera like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said in the show, the guy was angry at him and he goes, I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of a flashback. My flashbacks are in black and white. How about yours? Because it's like black and white footage.
Right. Yeah, and why not? Why can't they be in black and white? But that, I mean, just shit like that. And I don't know. It's such a great show. I was really bummed when they shit canned it. Now, what was the real reason that they canceled it?
I think it was all network stuff because it wasn't a network show. It was a David E. Kelley production.
Right.
And they would do stuff we talked about like on the show. They would move our nights and we didn't even know it. Like,
yes.
So there was one episode on the show where we're in the office and somebody goes, hey, what are we doing here? Aren't we on Tuesday nights? And somebody else goes, no, we're Wednesday nights now. What do you mean we got moved to Wednesday nights? Nobody said it. Well, some jerk in the office moved us to Wednesday night. Like, that kind of thing.
I remember that, yeah.
So they started really screwing with the show, shuffling it around.
Yeah.
But I think it's because it wasn't one of their shows that they had to get.
Because I remember reading, like, someone said, you know, the network's complaining that the show's too expensive. You know, all the salaries are too expensive because there's too many people on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I could see that, but, you know, I also could see everyone on the show going, oh, well, we'll take a pay cut.
Yeah, it wasn't about
that. Yeah.
It was nothing. It really was nothing like that.
Okay. And David E. Kelley, I mean, I guess the network would want their own show rather than, you know, because
right.
David E. Kelley, you're going to have to let him do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
It's not like back in the day when he was Doogie Howser, when he was
right.
making Doogie Howser and he would try to please them. Yeah, he's kind of writes his own ticket now. Well, that's awesome. Do you guys have any questions about Boston Legal or Malcolm in the Middle or the Blue Collar Comedy Show?
Oh. Blue Collar.
No, I actually do have a question about that. Is they shot that show not in California, correct?
We shot part of it in California. And then part of it in Georgia, which was great for me because we shot part of it in Atlanta, which is where I was born.
Okay.
And when we didn't shoot in Atlanta, we shot in Athens, Georgia, which is where my wife's, the white side of the family is.
So you were okay with going back and forth and traveling?
Yeah, it was great. My son got to spend time with his grandparents. Oh, it was perfect.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I got to hang out with rednecks a lot.
Because I remember when I saw Jeff Foxworthy talking about, he was like, yeah, I don't want to. I did the L.A. thing before, and I thought, oh, what a drag it would be to work on that show.
I will tell you, this comic this week did this joke where she goes, okay, I've got this new character. If you have a gun rack in your truck, you just might be a guy who likes guns. You might not be a redneck. You might not.
It's very possible.
You might not.
Just a gun
fan. Yeah. If your home has wheels on it, or it might be one of those houses that they put together, the prefab houses.
I'm sure.
You might not be a redneck.
Sure, I understand.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Very really, affordable. Yeah. It's a good way.
There is a possibility that you
it could happen.
Totally
sure,
deconstructing everything he got rich off of.
I enjoyed the hell out of what she was doing.
That's
the
funny.
One thing about those guys is like at that time, Larry, the cable guy, was the biggest stand-up moneymaker there was.
Right.
Off of his ticket sales, he sold the hats, he sold the fish hooks.
Jeez.
He was it. You know, more than Jeff had old money. Jeff Fox, he still has slaves, and everybody respects that. It's not like a negative thing. Bill Engvall lives here, but Larry was the big money maker. And I
really?
Went to see him in Vegas. He invited us all to Vegas, and our buddy Heath Heitch, who was also on the show, opened up. And I scoured for black people. There was not another black, and this room was packed, dude. There was not another black person there, but I had this unbelievable power. If he told an off-color joke within like a 30-person radius, all the white people would like look at me.
Right.
And if I wasn't laughing, then then laugh. Nice. And if I laugh, they would laugh. So I could control his audience.
It was a 30-person radius. That's very funny.
Then we all went to a lynching.
Did you experiment?
Like, I did. Once I found out what was going on, I did that. Yeah, I did. It was like, wow. But I thought it was cool that, like, they thought, wow, I got to check in with a black guy before I can laugh.
Well, Don Rickles told him to do that as why, right?
Yeah.
He said, check out the black guy, make sure he's laughing.
Yeah. That's what, like, at some of Don Rickles' shows, like, for a while, he was touring with a hockey puck.
Oh, really?
And the audience would look at the hockey puck whenever he'd say hockey puck, and if the hockey puck wasn't laughing, they would not laugh.
They would not laugh. Yeah.
That's a good... I would think that'd be distracting if there's a hockey puck in the audience.
And where was it placed? Like, was it front row center?
Yeah, he was in front because he also performed. He would perform.
The hockey puck
doing
room?
What?
Well, he would tell jokes. And they were racial jokes, and then he'd call people old bald Jew.
Oh, wow. Okay. He'd say, why don't you laugh, you old bald Jew?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And he'd say, look at the Jewish guy. Make sure he's laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense.
I might be remembering this wrong, though.
It sounds right.
Yeah, I think. I can't find any flaws with your story. Well, now these days, you're working on a thing here in L.A., the L.A. Comedy Shorts Festival.
Yeah, the L.A. Comedy Shorts Film
Festival. And we had our guy Lady Tigers was in there,
yeah.
And it was nice enough to get featured, and that was fun to do. Tell people what that's all
and
about.
You emceed that, too, as well.
Yeah, right? I'm one of the founders.
You were entertaining as hell, by the way.
Oh, I was very young, wasn't I?
Yeah.
me and my buddy Jeannie Rochar had written a movie called I Own You, which was about... black guy married to a white girl finds out that her family used to own his.
Nice.
It's almost a true story. And then we were touring it around. Then there was no just short comedy festivals. And we said, let's make one. And we tried to start really small. And it got big pretty instantly.
Cause, yeah.
You know, there's no, it was like a little niche to fill. And the year you guys were there, that was this year, 2011.
Yeah.
It was our third season. And next year will be a fourth. It's now the largest comedy film festival in the U.S.
I was surprised how many, I mean, I was just, you know, flipping through the program of stuff that was showing that day, and I was like, holy shit, look at all these shorts, and just that, and just stuff we saw in our section was really funny and well made, and I was... And
some of them with really good budgets.
Yeah, and I went on the website, and I was like, look at all these things, and it didn't occur to me until then, there's really no place that you can see this stuff.
Not like that. Not just specifically short comedy.
Yeah, because where are you going to show? Where are you going to tell somebody, hey, I want to show my short film? I mean, unless you do it yourself at a bar and invite people or something, there's really no place for it. And especially here in L.A., it's like you put it on the internet, and that's kind of it.
Do you remember the other thing Dirk made? Because he was in there the first season.
If you say the title, I will.
It was, I can't. It was a commercial for ribs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. It was a very well-made commercial. About monetizing, and you never knew what it was. It looked like a financial commercial.
Right.
But at the end of it, he opens up his luggage, and it's ribs. That goes out with our Best of Fest.
That's package. One of my favorite things.
Nice.
Jeannie, Ryan, and I watch every film that gets submitted to us. This past season, when you guys got in, there were 800 short films and 800 scripts.
Wow.
So we literally watch all 800 of them because it's new, and we want, like you guys were saying, you watched. You might not agree with everything in there, but everything in there is, for us, we only want the funniest, best stuff that we
can. It's all funny, and it's all very different, too. That was the thing I appreciated, is that all different content, different lengths, different tones and different themes.
Yeah.
It wasn't all just crazy comedy or characters or puppets or whatever. You know, it was all around it. So that was very cool.
But the thing that you guys had in there, it was funny because only driving over here today, they're like, oh, wait a minute, Paul was in that movie. And I'm not going to... I see anything that's in the festival.
Mm-hmm.
There's only like 60 or 70 of them out of the 800. So I see them like 3 or 4 times a piece before they get in there. But it was so good and so out there that I can't even imagine, as I was saying to both of you before we started this, why it's not on television. Like, if I was a network exec... Like at a Comedy Central or one of those, it's like you gotta put those characters on TV, which makes me realize how stupid Hollywood is.
Well, I watch, I watch Children's Hospital and I watch the new one, NTSF, SUV, FAA, whatever it's called. And I like them both, and they're both really funny and they're short, and I like it. And I think how is this show not on right. Adult Swim? It's the perfect length. It's the perfect tone. It's the kind of thing that hipsters will go, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And love it. And I think, honestly, if this show, if that thing starred Tom Lennon or someone like that, it would go right yeah. away.
That, you know, that would make a difference. But then, you know, at some point, Hollywood has to take chances on stuff, you yes. know? Right. Take a chance, you get... To me, funny wins. And, you know, my career is about that. Funny right. wins. And so when you pass something up like that, it's like, that is a no-brainer to me. Put yeah. that on TV.
Yeah, it could easily be. And it's, I don't know. For those of you who have never seen it, go to, what is it, the Elders of Zion.com? Or
Zion. Yeah, the Elders of Zion. the Elders of the Dark Tower, I believe, is what you're trying to
think. Elders of the Dark Tower.
Or Funny or Die.
Or go on Funny or Die and just search Guy Lady Tigers.
Yeah.
And you'll find it. And there's a short version and a long version. And there's also another version of it on. And so what's the website for the festival?
LAComedyShorts.com. LAComedyShorts.com. Submissions start September 1st. And it's really cheap September 1st to submit your film or your script in there. And then the festival this year will be April 26th through the 29th.
And it's a really good thing to do, especially if you're not in L.A., but if you have a short film, rather than just make it and put it on the internet and go, hey, people, watch my short film, you know, it's a good thing to get it in front of people because people take notice when it's, you know, in a festival like that. Because you have some big shots come and look at. And like,
we do.
And Wendy McLennan Covey was...
She was
there and you gave her an award.
The recipient of the Comedy Award.
That's right. She's awesome. She was a guest on this show.
She's
long,
good,
long time
man.
Ago. She's the best,
she's
right?
She's good people. And Bridesmaids, did you guys all see Bridesmaids?
I did, yeah.
Did
I
you see
not.
It?
I haven't seen it yet.
I can... Am I stupid? I love that movie.
It's funny. And she's one of the best parts in it, without a doubt.
I love
those
whole
are
man.
Unrelated issues.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm sure the movie's great. I don't know if you're stupid.
No. Well, yeah, you're right.
I don't know.
I suddenly realize that you don't know that.
He doesn't know who's stupid, who's not. She's got a bunch of commercials running, too, for Hillshire Farms or something.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I just watched one on her website. Yeah, she's a sweetheart, and she's very funny. And you know what's funny is you watch that movie, and there might be things you don't like, but at the end of the movie, anything you don't like has nothing to do with her. Everything she does in the movie... funny beginning to end.
Well, I can see, Paul, that you have some serious problems with that movie, and I'm here to tell you that Paul is messed up.
I am messed up. Speaking of movies, anybody here see Planet of the Apes besides me?
I didn't. I read the article that made me want to see it, and I didn't want to see it.
It's fucking great. I gotta say, it's really good. We'll talk about it after you guys see it, but I really liked it, so I'm suggesting everybody go see it.
That's good.
All right, let's do some stuff. Let's do trivia. Let's see. First of all, before I get to trivia, let me announce that next week's show, I want to have a trivia contest. I want to have listeners call in via Skype, and we'll have a trivia contest like they do on the morning radio shows. And I'll ask the questions, and people can guess, and you guys can play. And our guest next week is Paul F. Tompkins, and he will also play. So if you wanna be involved in that, send me an email, paul@thekingoftv.com, and we'll work it out. I'll have two people, you know, Skype in, and we'll play. And you know, Jesse Whitehead, you're welcome to play. Let's see. The trivia question last week was about Bill Cosby. We were talking about all the shows Bill Cosby had named after himself.
Oh, wow.
Like Cause and Cosby and the Cosby Show. Mm-hmm. And we named all but one of them. And a couple people answered it. It was an animated show, and it wasn't Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. You guys have a guess this time? I said it was an animated show. That's a hint.
Was the Black Hornet? Was that what the name
that was part of Bill Cosby?
I know, but I was wondering if maybe they did a spinoff or something.
That was the Brown Hornet.
Was it the Brown Hornet?
Yeah. Anyone?
But it was an animated show, and it has his name involved with the show?
Yes.
His name wasn't in picture pages.
No.
Okay.
Little Bill.
Little Bill was
it. Oh, nice shot.
The most recent one, Little Bill.
I don't remember that at all.
I think it might have been on Nickelodeon, but it was a show for kids where he was Little Bill and didn't win around.
I wasn't
little
here
kids,
last week.
You could have won.
I would have won the wigs.
But
they win wigs.
Something. You could have won a porno. Hey, we had all
I
kinds
like
of great
porn
stuff.
And wigs.
especially together. But the person who answered it first was our good friend Amanda from New Zealand, who was kind enough to always tell me all the great things going on in New Zealand. So congratulations to you, Amanda. The trivia question this week is about Boston Legal. And Gary might know this.
I won't know it.
But if you remember Boston Legal, they all worked at Crane, Poole, and Schmidt. Who were the three actors who played Crane, Poole, and Schmidt? I'm hoping that you at least know two of them.
Okay. Bob Crane played Crane, of course.
Sure. That's a given. Right. That's the gimme.
Yeah, that's the right. Easy one.
Mike Schmidt was Schmidt.
Right, Mike Schmidt was Schmidt.
Do you know at least one of them or two of them?
And Minnesota Fats played Poole. Am I right?
No, he did.
Yeah.
I can't see how.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Can he have his porn wigs now?
I can't believe you said that so brilliantly.
I was so.
Minnesota Fats played Poole. Yes, he did, Jim. He played billiards, but I'm going to give you that one. All right. Anybody have any guesses? If you don't know all three, don't guess.
I just guessed.
Right. Okay, yes, that was your guess. Do you know all three?
If you don't know all three, don't.
I don't think I do.
Okay, Gary.
Embarrassingly.
Well, I think that the person who played Poole was on long before you joined the show, so you would have to be a longtime viewer. In fact, I think they were on even before Kenny Bergen was on. So
even that before was a long Shatner, time ago. Right? They were like really early.
No, then. Shatner was in the first episode.
But that's how early those guys were.
Well, please, Shatner.
All right. So there's the trivia question. Tell me who played all three of those characters, Crane, Poole, and Schmidt, and you can win one of the many prizes. Tom was nice enough to bring us some swag from Comic-Con. We got one of the giant bags from Comic-Con. What is this?
Justice League version.
Oh, this is a good one.
Wow. I found out after the con that they had a lot of different shows. They had like Supernatural and Fringe and a lot of different things. There was actually a Chase version of the Fringe bag, though. There was a very small number of the Fringe bags had the cast from the alternate universe.
Oh, cool.
Which I didn't find out until after the con.
Well, this is an awesome bag.
I like that one.
One side has got Justice League with Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Aquaman, Batman, Flash, and what is this, Cyborg?
Yep.
Superman?
Cyborg.
Ooh, that's pretty cool. And then there's the Green Arrow and all kinds of people. So this is pretty awesome. What is it, Jeff Johns, right? All right, that's awesome. And then, of course, you got the program.
The souvenir book, yeah.
The souvenir book, which is always, people always seem to want. So if you call, if you write in and you have the correct answer, you can win those.
These are good things.
I'll happily send them to you.
And I just want to say to people who actually listen to our show, if you win this week, you're getting something that's not terrible. This is pretty awesome.
It's very, as a newcomer to your show, it's a very colorful prize.
Isn't it?
Yeah, very sharp lines, a lot of good color.
Look at the artwork inside this.
Oh, look at that.
This is the kind of stuff we usually give away, Gary. Stickers with me and
Henry. Oh, dear. You guys win today.
You can have that. You take that home.
I will.
You give that to your kid.
My son loves the Fonz.
In the souvenir book, that you could win if you get the trivia question right. But still, it's not going to be as funny as that Minnesota Fats thing. But still, I'm looking inside, and there's this amazing Star Wars artwork that I just flipped to a random page. And there's this really cool artwork in
there. Do another random flip and see what you land on.
Is there Conan artwork in there?
Well, look at this.
From the
lady
Conan
right
exhibit.
Here.
Hi, lady.
I don't know about that.
Hi, lady.
Milk and cheese there.
Oh, there's milk and cheese
milk
going
and
back.
Cheese.
Yeah, every year they have a number of themes of significant things that are going on in comics that they choose, and then people submit artwork based on those themes. So
my goodness, this Fantastic Four stuff.
It really is. And
well, you can learn more about what's in here on Jim's podcast, Jim Reads Programs.
I'm having trouble uploading it.
Hard to believe. I also want to remind you to read the Perspectives blog, which I and Jim write for. I just posted my hilarious more sitcoms you'd like to see. One of my favorites was a new sitcom, The Nelsons.
No, tell me more.
It's a spinoff of News Radio. Dave and Lisa got married, and they have three kids. Matthew William Nelson, played by Eric Pear Sullivan from Malcolm in the Middle.
Mm-hmm.
Little Jimmy James Nelson. Played by, what's the kid's name? Mason Gamble. And little Beth, their daughter, little Beth, who's played by Brennan Broadwin Tosh from 6 Feet Under.
Well, what kind of scrapes would the Nelsons get into?
Well, they
every
work
week?
At, they run the, what it is? What, they run a the Altoona Gazette, which is located in Pittsburgh for some reason. But and that's what they do. They run a newspaper.
I would watch that show.
Right? Who wouldn't watch that show? That is a great fucking show. But you can read all about the hilarious new series. Oh, another one is Niles and Daphne. At the end of Frasier, of course, Frasier moved away. Mm-hmm. He doesn't live in Seattle, so Martin has to move in with Niles and Daphne, who are now married. And of course, now that Daphne is married and, you know, she's a wife, she is no longer Martin's physical therapist. So he gets a new one played by Patti LaBelle. And she's very sassy, and her and Daphne do not get along at all, right? And for some reason...
Patti LaBelle.
For some reason...
Well, she's very sassy.
She's so sassy.
For some reason, Maris has decided to buy the house right next to theirs and has moved in. And we never see her, of course, but we do see her new husband played by Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, Goldblum.
And he's always over, right? How great is
the guy,
that?
It's time for some Goldblum.
David
comeback.
Hyde Pierce and Jeff Goldblum together?
It's time for Goldblum.
That's fucking gold is what it is. Goldblum.
It's Goldblum.
All right. Also, you can read my reviews of TV shows at TVGeekArmy.com. I just wrote a review of this new show, Friends with Benefits. I'm sure you guys haven't seen
it. Yeah, how is that show? Oh, that is
he,
that?
And may I also add, you.
Both of them.
It was back terrible. Back. And I find it funny.
I expected you to say P, but...
really?
The when you, he added the U?
U was a surprise.
And I didn't know which order to say them in, because I thought maybe it meant up. It's up. But then I realized you said them in the order you want.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People to, okay.
I hated it. So you can read my review of that at TVGeekArmy.com. And of course, always follow the show on Twitter, Paul Goebel Show. And you can follow Jim on Twitter.
Comic Jim Bruce.
Comic Jim Bruce. And you can always order our hilarious videos from the website, thekingoftv.com. They are always for sale, 99 cents each, or 5 for $4, or 7 for $10, or rather 10 for $7. How much would that be a piece, Gary?
10 for $7?
Uh-huh.
Not much.
That's right. Not much at all. That's a great deal to get a video for not much. And they're all hilarious, and you can order them
all. And of course, I wrote a new conspiracy nut this week, so please read my blog, The Conspiracy Nut.
ConspiracyNut.com?
It is a blogspot, yeah.
Blogspot.com, The Conspiracy Nut.
Why don't you guys have, like, head cameras on and, like, do head camera video of this show?
Like, and so where we're shooting each other?
Yeah, like, you got your head cameras on, like a miner's camera. Like a, if miners had cameras, I'm sure they don't.
That's not a bad idea.
And then do what, head
can
cam.
Can we set up a multi-feed live stream where people can just switch back and forth?
Yeah.
Whatever. Oh, they can switch it their
yeah,
own
just show, I'll show all three cameras.
And then we'll see who people want to see the most.
Yeah.
Or we do that other miner thing, too, where we deprive ourselves of oxygen.
Yeah, now see.
Show, right? Yeah.
All right, I like that.
But not only are you seeing who people want to see the most, you're seeing who people want to see the most that that person was looking at. Like, Paul, if you're always looking at Jim, it's like, oh, I want to see through Paul's POV. Paul's got a cool POV.
Right, why? Yeah. Like, because I'm constantly looking at Jim but shaking my head.
Yeah.
No good. Terrible. And, like, Jim's, and like the people who are watching Jim's camera are constantly getting shots of my stomach.
Yeah, because right? Jim can't, he can't stop. You can't stop going down there. Wiener.
Or Tom's junk, I was going to say.
Oh, really?
Sure, yeah.
Why Tom's?
Yeah, he's got a bigger wiener than you do.
He does?
Yeah.
How do you know this?
Oh, because I've sucked them both.
Okay. And you made a lasting impression, and I mean that literally.
Yeah, I could not handle it.
Okay. Can I tell you something that I've learned in my new book that I haven't written, but it's called What I've Learned from Drinking with White Women? Here's what you have to be careful of. Women will tell about your junk.
Really?
And they'll do tricky stuff to measure it. Like, they were showing me, like, no, I'll just, like, use this side of my hand. I'll just lay the side of my hand, and I'll remember where his penis came or their
arm.
Yeah, they do tricky measurement stuff.
That's not okay.
Well, now, guys, it's time to fight back.
Maybe it is. Fight back. That's right.
Measure your girl's cooter next time you're out with her.
Like, bring a ruler.
I guess so. Well, no, do tricky stuff.
So, but what do you measure? Are you measuring the opening? Are you measuring the depth?
No, I haven't thought of this yet.
You're going to have to bring some very complicated equipment.
Get like a string and a sinker.
a string and a sinker.
Sure.
Oh,
and a canary. You want to bring a canary? Because if you go down there by yourself, you never know.
I'm actually a little sad I started.
When the oxygen runs out.
Yeah. I shouldn't have started talking about
that. But you know what? That would help me find my keys.
Oh, you still missing those? Right. Or, is this them?
Ah, he found them. Let's drive out. All right, I also wanted to mention the Lobster Cast, which is this podcast I listen to. You go to lobstercast.com. It's just improv comedy. It's guys doing funny skits, basically, and the Lobster Cast. And it's very funny, and you should check it out. I just wanted to throw that out there because they're very kind. All right, let's talk about Jerry Lewis before we get too far along. Now, I know this was. I knew you wanted to talk about this, Jim, because you love to watch the Labor Day Telethon every year.
I do. Well, I want to say two things really quick.
Well, first, for those of you who don't know, the MDA, the Muscular Dystrophy Association, has said, thank you, Jerry Lewis, but we're done, and has pretty much said, we're done with you. And it wasn't like he quit or something happened. They just said, we don't want him to do the show anymore because we no longer feel safe with him hosting because we don't know what he's going to say anymore. And there's already been, you know, a couple years ago he said faggot on the show. And yeah. I guess last year he probably came close to stuff. But he's so old and weird now. And also they said they don't want to have a going away show because he would for sure say some crazy shit in his last show. So they said they just wanted to say thank you, and thank you for all your help, and goodbye.
Now, did they actually come out and say all that? Because I'm sure that's their reasoning, but did they actually say that?
Well, they said thanks and you're done. And then, you know, everyone said, why don't you at least let him say goodbye, do a farewell thing? And they said flat out, we don't know what he's going to say on live TV, and we don't feel comfortable with that. Because historically, Jerry Lewis has been the guy who has gone on his last show or last whatever and said, fuck you people, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, you would not want Jerry Lewis, and I'm only kind of joking, but you don't want it to be the thing where Jerry Lewis goes, you know what? Now I'm in favor of muscular dystrophy, because you just don't know what he's going to say. And I'm
great.
Only kind of joking because he has said some crazy
you
stuff.
You will walk alone, he says.
But having said that, Let me tell you, I'll give listeners and everybody a brief history of my childhood. Muhammad Ali, Sherlock Holmes, Jerry Lewis. Those were the three things.
They all go into a bar.
Right. I love this joke.
Those were the three things as a kid that I could watch and enjoy or read in the case of one of those, which is a book.
Are you talking about the Muhammad Ali cartoon that was on Saturday mornings?
I'm talking about the boxer.
Oh,
The flip book.
Yeah.
You're talking about him actually fighting people?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
When I was a kid,
that's what he got famous for.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, those were the three things. Amazing. Jerry Lewis being funny, Muhammad Ali being an amazing boxer, Sherlock Holmes were the three and only three things that I ever connected with my father on. So I have a very soft spot for all of those things, always will.
Okay.
Because my dad was hard to know, World War II veteran, a little nuts, but a lovely man.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always loved Jerry Lewis, and I always will, because he did that for me, and it was very funny. But, performers, you just don't know who you touch and how you touch them, because it's amazing.
Right.
So I'm sad that he doesn't get to say goodbye the way that it's gone down. I sort of see their logic, but it's kind of horseshit when you were like, you could pre-tape something. There are so many options.
Yeah, yeah.
There are so many ways that you can handle this to be more graceful. And Jerry Lewis had said that this was his last year already. He had already announced this is going to be my last year.
That's right.
So there's no reason, really, unless, and the caveat is, unless there's something they're being good enough to keep secret.
I feel like there must be. Like, there must have been something that happened in private that made
it. Yeah. And I don't.
It did seem to kind of come out of nowhere.
It does, because it doesn't make much sense for. He'd already announced, this is going to be my finale. I'll get to sing. And he gave the number of times he's saying, you'll never walk alone. Mm-hmm. And this will be the however many times. And it'll be a great send off. Why? Now that it would be like, Carson says he's retiring, and then they go, yeah, but you can't be on your last show. It doesn't make it, because it is Jerry's show.
Right.
It's not just a telethon. It's Jerry's show.
Yeah.
It's a show, by the way, that as a telethon, when it first came on the air, was shown in one market, and he managed to get it to be national. That's amazing.
And it's a long time
gig. It's
iconic.
It's got the Sinatra moment. It's got so many moments, so many celebrities, so many. By the way, the other thing is, you know how people, and you'll go, hey, who's who came out to lend their support. They showed a list of comedians that came out to support him, and it was a who's that of comedians.
Well, it was funny because they're just
wonderful guys.
But it was like, well, Larry Miller, who's great, and we all these you know, comic. But then Norm Crosby, who looked like Norm Crosby's skeleton, quite frankly, because he's a million years old. And then Paul Rodriguez, and you're like, oh yeah, I kind of remember him. It was really a mixed bag. But what I thought was these, and Tom Dreesen, of course. I thought these guys, if you know, if they're anything like me, if they're comedians like I am, they want Jerry to do his last show no matter what. And maybe he will do some crazy shit. Because everybody wants to see that, don't they? Yeah. I mean, especially comedians want to see that. Larry Miller and Tom Dreesen are going to sit around and go, oh, that was awesome. I'm so glad we got Jerry Lewis to go on his last show.
Well, honestly, joking, what possibly could be so bad that he would do? Could he do something where he talks about, you know, I've loved working for this telethon and working for my kids. Sometimes the people in charge are idiots.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But if he says that, what's so bad about that?
I agree with you. The whole thing, technologically, you can fix it a few minutes to give yourself a little time to.
You don't even have to tell him.
It's true.
He's very old.
He doesn't have to know. He wouldn't know. Well, do you guys watch The Green Room?
No.
On Showtime? Oh, you guys don't have Showtime. Well, they just started their second season, and Dana Gould was on. He was talking about how he did one of the last Bob Hope specials, and he had to do promos for it. And so in the promo, he goes, hey, everybody, watch our new special with my best friend, Bob Hope. And Bob's line was, yeah, these kids are great. Hey, didn't you used to be my caddy? And that was the only thing he had to say. And so the first time he goes, hey, these kids are great. Didn't you used to be my granny? And they're like, okay, we need to do it again. Bob's like, why? What happened? And they can't tell him. You fucked up the line, Bob. So instead, they say, oh, you have something on your chin. And they pretend to wipe something off his chin.
Oh, my.
So they can do it again. And, of course, Dana Gould can't fucking believe it because of all people. You know, he's like the one guy who has to go, this is fucking crazy. This is, I have to say something about this. But it's, I mean, I have a feeling that the people who work for the MDA, like every year, they cross their fingers and then go, phew, we got through it without Jerry, you know, doing something crazy. And, you know, maybe.
But honestly, if you've been
maybe
rolling,
they're fed up.
If you've been rolling the dice this long, is it, here's the other thing it could be. Okay, maybe, thinking of it that way, they've been rolling the dice for a while because it's the Jerry Lewis telethon. He announces he's leaving, and they go, well, if he's leaving and we've got to take care of business anyway, all right, we're not rolling the dice anymore because we've got to reset anyway.
Right.
I guess.
Well, do you think he said, well, this is my last year, but I got some shit I'm going to say. And maybe that was enough for them to go, okay, no. No more, Jerry.
It is hard to understand. I mean, it's got to be something severe, like you said. Something that the public doesn't know. How many years is it? What's the total of years that he did that?
Oh, my God.
It's got to be at least four.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around, probably four plus.
Just say a nickel. Plus.
And,
five,
and you got to think, because of his personality and who he is, how much money that he personally has helped them bring in.
Yeah.
And to think that money horse... that you're just not going to let him finish that race. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I have a feeling that there's something. They're right. Scared of something specific that he's going to say or do.
I mean, maybe he was like, finally get to say, fuck you, 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, 7-Eleven.
Oh, wow. He's got a vendetta.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Fuck 7-Eleven.
I wanted to tell you this right long.
Well,
time.
I honestly, I hope he does, because I wanted someone to tell 7-Eleven.
Maybe he was
for
insisting
years.
That they had to air The Day the Clown Cried.
Oh, boy. That would be great. I'd love
suddenly
to see
the telethon actually goes over time because they air that thing. Like, yeah, that thing's long.
There's a long ass movie. All right.
You're familiar with that.
Yeah,
right? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, it's time again for Tom Frank to regale us with one of his opinions and to tell us what we should face in this week's But Let's Face It.
At Comics and Comics, we have a segment where we like to give an opinion about something, and if you've ever read any fanboy post on any message board anywhere, you understand why we call this segment But Let's Face It. Collecting geeks are one of the most frequently attacked types of geeks, even by other types of geeks. If you look at a comic book fan who voraciously reads issues when they come out, picks up back issues in the $5 for $1 pile at conventions, and enthusiastically reads through those issues as well, versus the comic book collector who seeks out prestigious issues in the best condition he can find, pays whatever he can afford for them, puts them in acid-free Mylar sheets, gets them third-party graded, and never exposes them to light again. The former seems passionate, and the latter seems soulless. The implication is that the true collector enjoys crossing an item off a want list more than the item itself, and that that type of prioritization is worthy of ridicule. To that, I would say, first of all, having a genuine love for a highly collectible item and simply wanting the prestige of having it are not mutually exclusive. Secondly, being into the thrill of the hunt isn't a bad thing. If you're going to slam collectors for tracking down their holy grails, fine. Just as long as you're willing to lump us in with Percival, or for that matter, Indiana Jones. And if you don't think I'm ready to weigh out a bag of sand and displace a 1946 stuffed Captain Marvel figure from its altar place, then you don't know me that well. Collectors go after things that are rare, and if we're being honest, do gain some joy in having items that others do not. But let's face it, this mentality has not only proved to be successful and wise, but continues to become more so with each day. In the last year, comic books with the first appearances of Batman, Superman, and even Spider-Man from over 20 years later all sold for over $1 million each. A page of original art from The Dark Knight sold for over $448,000. A copy of Hulk 181, a comic book from the 70s, sold for over $150,000. $15,000 sales for rare toys from the 1970s and 80s are becoming more and more common. Collectibles are part of the American dream, nay, the worldwide dream. The notion of finding a collectible diamond in the rough is exciting. The success of programs like Antiques Roadshow and Storage Wars attest to the growing fascination people have with collectible value. In the past 20 years, foolishly overpaying for vintage collectibles seems like genius now. The performance of high-end collectibles in this economy is nothing short of spectacular. This interest is underscored by the similar rise in collectible forgeries. Like Hans van Meegeren successfully passing off fake Vermeers to the Third Reich in World War II, forgerers are attempting to make fake collectibles and pawn them off to unsuspecting buyers. But the world is a different place now. Forgerers are caught more easily, collectible forensics is more advanced. Steve Martin's art purchases aside, fewer people are being fooled. Unlike 20 years ago, today, if you try and cut the cape off of an Obi-Wan action figure and try and use it to make a fake vinyl-caped Jawa, you'll be exposed faster than a Jawa trying to sell an R2 unit with a bad motivator. And as much as I hate to say it, third-party grading works. Having condition evaluated by a neutral party and then encasing the collectible in plastic might seem to wipe out the beauty of many collectibles, but it has created an impressively secure marketplace. Some may argue too secure. When a loose but graded Luke X-Wing action figure sells for more than a carded but ungraded figure, something may be wrong. But the overall increased security for purchases over the internet can't be ignored. Third-party grading has been tough but fair, and buyers continue to remain satisfied after purchases are made and auctions won. Perhaps it's time for third-party grading to be implemented by eHarmony and OkCupid. Even though lots of people are trying to get in on the collectible racket, it's not as easy as it seems. First off, not everything is a true collectible, even if you collect it. There's a crucial difference between Antiques Roadshow and hoarders, and that can't be stressed enough. If you've got a picture of yourself online standing in front of a toy collection filled with new X-Men figures, reissued Micronauts, and common McFarlane toys, get the smirk off your face, because you can no longer expect us to be impressed. But if in the back you've got an original boxed Mecha Machine Jeeg by Bullmark, expect a personal message from me asking if you want to sell it, me hoping you don't know how valuable it is, you investigating its history, and telling me to either get lost or pay a fortune for it. J.P. Morgan was not an incredibly refined or educated art collector. Neither was J. Paul Getty. Their personal tastes are suspect, but they were both smart enough to invest in art and hire people who knew more than they did. One thing Morgan insisted on was not buying anything new. Likewise, when I'm talking about collectible markets, I'm referring to things old enough where supply and demand has been established organically. The molds for the Kenner Robin Dragster were destroyed in a factory fire in Thailand in 1993. This produced a genuinely limited supply. Releasing a paint variation of a toy at a convention and keeping the piece count low to make it seem more special is completely artificial. Underground vinyl toys, comic book cover variants, convention exclusives, and designer handbags may fetch huge prices in the future, or they may become the next Dutch tulip market. C9 and above condition copies of the first 50 issues of Spider-Man will never go down in price. They will go up. Everything is out in the open now. The days of giving a guy 10 bucks for 100 grand worth of baseball cards at a garage sale are over. If you find something in your attic, any reasonably accurate description listing you give it on eBay will result in a sale that reflects what it's actually worth. People are educated and ready to pay top dollar for the truly rare stuff. Expect this to continue. As we become an increasingly software-based culture, and more of the practical components of our lives become stored on our smartphones, look for the collectible hardware portions of our past to become even more precious. Much of the hardware of our analog meat space lives will become obsolete, but let's face it, that doesn't mean we won't want to buy it again on eBay and put it behind a glass case.
Thanks, Tom. Now, Jim, you want to talk about South Park?
Yes, did you watch it? For some reason,
I watched, so I couldn't see the first part because it kept buffering, but I skipped and saw the bulk of it. I saw from where Stan's dad was listening to the shitty music and then to the rest of the show.
Okay, so do you watch South Park?
I do.
Did you watch Stan's Old, or You're Getting Old?
You're Getting Old is what it was called.
I did not.
Okay, so I guess I'll talk about it only briefly. I like about South Park a lot is in the very beginning when I watched South Park, Kenny would always die. And there came a time in my enjoyment of the show where I went, okay, well, that was a fun show to enjoy. I'm kind of over it.
Mm-hmm.
But they got over it, too, and decided that doesn't happen anymore. We're going to do other things.
Right.
And the show became amazing. And then every now and then, like Fun with Weapons, the Butters episode,
mm-hmm.
of course. And then Scott Tenorman Must Die was another episode where, oh, Cartman killed those parents and made them into chili.
Yeah,
all right, now okay, awesome something crazy. And the show has this crazy habit of always surprising me in ways that, like, they'll do a show like this one was very scatological. It was a lot of jokes about poop, and there was a lot of drawings of poop on the screen.
Yes, and saying the word shit over and over again.
But as is often the case when they're their grossest and most juvenile, they trick you. And at the end, that's the point when they have the most poignant or most thoughtful point to make. And at the very end of this episode, like, what it was at one point, Stan is listening to tween rock, and his mom won't let him listen to it. He goes, because it's shit. It's nothing but shit. And they go, listen to it, Randy. And Randy listens to it, and it's literally a drum beat going. And then they make it. Now, listen to this. This is the Police. This is good music. And they play Every Breath You Take, but it's the kids listening, and it's. And it's just, oh, you realize uh-huh. that's how you hear the other person's music.
Uh-huh.
And then at one point, Stan tween rock starts to sound like shit to him because he's getting older. So the doctor, he goes to a doctor who says, well, we've seen this happen. Now, here's Bob Dylan. And Bob Dylan sounds like, ew, ew. And he goes, that sounds like shit to me, too. And he goes, oh, no, you have a terrible condition, which is called being...
being cynical.
Being a cynical asshole.
Yeah.
And it's funny, funny, funny.
And it's true, because then everything, he hates everything. My favorite part was they go to a movie, and they're like, can you just not be a dick at the movie? And he goes, fine. And they're watching the previews, and the first one is, Adam Sandler is Jack. Adam Sandler is Jill, and Adam Sandler is shit. And they're referencing this specific movie that's coming out. And then they say, and then another commercial is, Jim Carrey has an apartment full of shit.
Yeah, it's, and it's like, penguins.
It's a penguin movie, but they're little pieces of shit dancing
around. And then he goes, and the end of that commercial is, yeah, he's got a bunch of fucking shit in his apartment. Whatever, you'll fucking pay for it. Fuck you.
And the last one is, he's a duck, but he's the president, and his best friend's a dog. Or maybe the dog's a president. Who fucking cares? It's all shit. was the best.
So it's this hilarious whatever, and then his dad decides he's going to make tween rock because it's easy and he wants to be a rock star. So he renames himself Steamy Ray Vaughan.
And he's...
teams up for a duet with Steamy Nicks.
That part I love, because it sounded like Stevie Nicks.
And this other person goes, is that Stevie Nicks? No, Stevie Nicks is the talented person who wrote Landslide. This is Steamy Nicks, who sings and shits into a microphone.
And if they're not farting, if they make it clear, they're actually shitting their pants.
There's poop happening.
Yeah.
Yes, there's poop happening.
Anyway, so him and his wife have this big fight, and she says something to the effect of, every week you do some crazy shit, and then the next week it just resets, and I'm tired of it. And he goes, well, maybe it's because I'm unhappy. And suddenly he says, I'm unhappy. And she goes, well, I'm unhappy too.
Right.
And I felt like two things were going on. I felt also like Trey and Matt were saying, we're kind of unhappy with the show. We want to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we're unhappy. And suddenly you realize why Stan thinks everything's shitty. His parents are getting a divorce. And Landslide starts up, and you're like, oh, is this... No, they just play Landslide, the Stevie Nicks version.
It is not shit to him.
There's nothing... No. And there's this montage of them breaking up and leaving each other.
Packing up their shit and moving
Stan
out.
Is, and it's so sad.
It's
and
not a funny ending
and
at all.
And Stan is looking at a flower, and they do a close-up of the flower. The flower's a poop. Mm-hmm. And there's a poop bee on top of it. And then they show, oh, and his friends are not, they don't want to be friends with him because they don't want to be around a guy who's cynical all the time. Which I've been that guy that people didn't want to be around because you're fucking cynical and depressed all the time.
Yeah.
And at the end, it was the most heartwarming, silly cartoon.
Yeah, it was very strange because
it was great.
I don't watch South Park regularly, and Jim told me to watch it because he wanted to talk about it. And so I did and went, am I missing something here? Is there something? Is this a reference to something that I didn't get? Or is this just a real sad ending?
It's just a really sad ending. But I think it was layered in a couple ways, because I think it was Trey and Matt communicating to the fans. Because at one point, Randy's wife says all this crazy stuff he's done. And then the next week, we reset, and it's the same crazy show again. And then behind them are the people stealing the underpants to emphasize the point.
Right, the old man rescuing the underpants.
The D story, because there was all these kind of things. But it was just, that's why I love the show, because at the end you were like, oh, everything's shit, because sometimes in your life, doesn't it seem like everything is shit? Even if it's not, you're just so fed up that even like a good show, it doesn't matter. You're just bummed out.
And I do think it was a good reference, like you know, a lot of kids go through that. I mean, we all reach that point when we decide, you know what, I don't really like stupid things anymore. I kind of like good things now. And it's different because that happens. Your friends are like, no, man, I still love wrestling. You're like, come on, really? Wrestling?
Yeah.
And it always happens to a different degree. And sometimes it breaks up friendships. Sometimes your friend's like, no, I love fucking heavy metal. And you're like, it's really just noise. I mean, I get it, but...
My son has never... He is the most I'll do whatever I want kid in the world. Mm-hmm. We were sitting in Lubbock, Texas last year, and there was some country music playing. He's like, this makes my head hurt. And he's eight, right? Like, any of his friends that go, oh, man, this is cool, this is cool. He's not about to go along with any of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he's ever going to have that moment that you have when you go, oh, man, you know, this wrestling. Like, he just thinks most things are stupid. Right off. Right up the bat. He's got a long road ahead of him.
Yeah, my kids. It's funny because my kids, you know, I introduce them to some stuff and I go, this is awesome. They're like, I don't get it. Like Doctor Who. My kid's like, this is the dumbest show ever. Is it supposed to be funny? And I go, well, I don't know. If you think it's funny, it's supposed to be. She's like, well, this doesn't make any sense. But then my other daughter, you know, she's been watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She's already in season four. She's been watching it. She's up to season four already, and she loves it. And I come in, I watch with her. I'm like, oh, yeah, look, there's Oz. He's a werewolf. And we talk about that, and she's like, what was the deal on Willow? Did she kill somebody? And I go, ah, oh, no, I know what you're talking about, but just watch. Here's what happens. Like, the other day she asked me, what kind of monster is the mayor? And I go, wow, I don't want to tell you, but it's crazy. And then she just watched it, and I was like, he's a big snake, right? She goes, yeah, huge. He almost ate everybody. So that she digs, whereas her sister's like, this show sucks.
Yeah.
And it's so strange. Kind of, she does it, but then her sister says Buffy sucks, just went and saw Katy Perry in concert. You know, so what does she know about what's good and what sucks?
Right.
You know?
What kind of monster is she?
Katy Perry, a boob monster. Monster shoots whipped cream out her boobs.
Whoa. Sweet. Like it.
I like it, too.
I'm lactose intolerant, but I'd go with it.
I'm not sure what the metaphor is, but I don't know. It gets me to jack off. So
anyway,
whatever that metaphor is, it's awesome.
It's a sweet metaphor, man.
So, like, you had a similar reaction to my wife because I made her watch the South Park, and she's like, what did I miss? That ending was really sad. Well, you didn't miss anything because that's my point, is right. that... But she did miss what I think I saw, which was the Trey and Matt communicating their disdain for the current state of the show. They want to reinvent it again or walk away. Who knows? I don't think they will because it's a lot of money. But
yeah, it's hard to walk away from a giant paycheck.
Oh, and also, this is how much they changed thing. Kyle and Cartman at the end of the episode, because Stan, more or less, they've written him off. Kyle and Cartman are buddies, are becoming friends. So they're clearly changing the dynamic of the show. And who knows, maybe they'll do another reset, because they got rid of Kenny, and then at some point, Kenny popped back into existence.
Right.
Which is a very good episode. Every week.
All right. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Anything else?
Did you watch, I'll recommend everybody watch the Futurama episode, Mobius Dick, if you haven't.
I haven't watched it yet.
Because, not to give anything away, but if you like cartoons where they reference a bunch of stuff where you're like, oh, I think they dropped in a thing of that. You know, where there's a little thing in the background. Oh, I know what that is. That's a reference to something else. Mm-hmm. They do that a lot in this episode, so you'll love it. You will love it for that.
Oh, reason. Well, I cannot wait to watch it. Tom?
Yes. I've got a... I was in Vegas recently on business, and when some of the people I was there with, when we had a couple of free hours, really, really decided they wanted to go see the pawn shop from Pawn Stars.
Okay.
What is it? The what? The pawn shop from...
From Pawn Stars, the TV show.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And?
And it was an interesting experience. I don't watch the show, but I know it by reputation. Brian and Jim are big fans.
Yes.
And it was and they talked me into going with them, and it was an interesting experience because we drove downtown... And we got to the pawn shop, and there's a line. There's a line to get in the pawn shop. There's people lined up outside. They've got a little rope set up. Wow. And there's a guy at the door. And so we went and
was
stood.
Was it Chumley?
No. Okay. We went and we stood in the line, and we waited, you know, maybe 20 minutes to get inside. And as we're getting up to the front, the guy at the door is like, the guys aren't here. They're on vacation for 3 weeks, but there's a cardboard stand up in the back you can take pictures with.
Wow.
And people were taking pictures.
Terrible.
Put their kid in front of like the cardboard standee and like take a picture of
it. Wow.
And inside it's a pawn shop, and they had some interesting stuff, but it's basically a pawn shop, but there's in the middle there's like a little gift shop section with like 50 different Pawn Star t-shirts and like work shirts and license plate covers and whatnot, and it was really interesting to me how much of a... And also, you know, I've seen the occasional clip or segment from the show, and this circus isn't going on.
Right.
So it's clear when they're filming, they shut shut the store down and like are curating people and
saying, "Wait a minute, are you saying what we're seeing on national television isn't really what's going on in Las Vegas on a daily basis?"
That's precisely what I'm saying.
I think you're a liar.
Well, they do that same thing with LA Inc. If you go by the shop for LA Inc. during the day, it's closed. Because they're in there shooting. You can't walk around in there. It's only at night when you can go in and actually get a tattoo. But even then, you got to get an appointment, and it's super expensive.
Have you ever watched Pawn Stars, by the way?
I have not, but I have watched LA Inc., and I have to say this on the Inc. situation. My child is pissed off because I keep telling him I'm going to get a tattoo. I probably never will.
He's pissed at me.
He's telling me I should not get a tattoo.
Okay.
But I love...
Is it because you're Jewish?
No, it's because he said you'll never be buried in the cemetery, Dad.
Okay.
But I love women with tattoos.
Yes.
I love it. I don't care how big they are. If they have a tattoo, it automatically knocks them down a little bit to me. So when I see like Kat Von D, she's like heaven to me.
Covered in ink, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Well,
somebody help me.
They're dirty.
Yeah. It makes them
dirty.
Yeah.
Well, you seem dirty.
Yeah.
I remember there was when I used to be on Beat the Geeks, there was this girl, Heather, who was the contestant coordinator, and she was the sweetest girl ever. She looked like what's her name? Charlotte from Sex and the City, the good girl.
Uh-huh.
And she wore her hair back like that all the time. And she was the sweetest girl. And she had a high voice, and she always dressed nice. And one day I saw she had a tattoo on her ankle, a really big tattoo.
Hello.
And I said, "What is that?" And she goes, "Oh yeah, I used to be kind of wild." And I went, boing.
Yeah.
And I never looked at her the same day, the same ever again.
It's crazy because all they did was one day they went into it. Tattoo place and got a tattoo.
Exactly.
But something clicks with that.
And they didn't get it removed. Is there anything sadder when you hear a girl, "Yeah, I had a tattoo, but I got it removed."
Yeah.
You're like, "Oh, really?"
Yeah.
Not only did you get this awesome thing removed, but you wasted all that time and money getting one.
Yeah.
And then just to get it removed? Ah, how fucking lame are you?
Now, I did meet a girl who's a makeup artist in LA. And she has her name tattooed inside her lip. I didn't know exactly how I felt about that. But it's literally inside her mouth.
Is that in case she displaces herself?
But how will she see, though? She'll never see that in
there.
She'll read it backwards.
Someone might, and then mail her to herself.
I met a girl one time who had a tattoo, and I asked her why she got the tattoo. And she said, "Well, it covers up the knife scar."
Yeah.
And I thought that was a great ass story. I don't want to know the rest of it because the rest will make me sad.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm going to imagine that you were the aggressor and there was another girl with a knife, but that's probably not what happened.
And then you had sex with her.
Hmm?
And then you had sex with her?
In the knife scar. It wasn't healed. It wasn't a healed scar.
Ooh, wow, Jesus got the tattoo. It was still open.
Right in the gash. Wait.
All right. Anything else that we want to discuss before we wrap it up?
This is a horrible show.
Is it really? Because this seems to me...
Interesting turn, yeah.
No.
Really?
No,
okay.
We're pretty bad sometimes.
Nobody listens.
Sorry.
Paul has a tattoo. Was that hot?
No. It's not even it's not even the same thing.
It's not hidden, but it's funny but I will say it is amazing to me how many young ladies will look at it and go, "Oh, I like your tattoo." And I think, "Boy, if I were a little more aggressive and desperate, that is an opening and a half right there because
Don't do it.
No, well, I wouldn't.
You should
a few years ago, I most definitely would have done it. But it's like they're coming up to me and saying, "I like your tattoo." Or like my favorite is when they go, "Is that a TV?" And I go, "Actually, it's just a picture of a TV. It's not a real TV."
I wish that shit would come on though.
And I go, one time some guy asked me, "What kind of TV is that?" I go, "That's old school, man. Analog. Yeah, shit. You got to get a converter." I said, "I'm going to get a little tattoo of a converter."
Oh, man.
But the ladies, they love it. They're like, "Ah, ha, ha, that's so cute." And I'm
Can I tell you my one lady loved me story that
sure.
is the most amazing thing that happened to me?
Please do.
I was at, I'm a Hollywood actor, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be honest.
We know you.
I've been around several movie sets. So I was at a birthday party of somebody who's way more important than I am. And I saw across the room what I would consider, for real, no joking, the single most beautiful woman I've ever seen. You couldn't tell like what she was. It's like, "Oh, the whole country went in to make that one."
Mm-hmm.
It was that kind of girl with these glowing green eyes. And she's like, "Oh, she might be black. She might be an Aryan. I don't know."
Mm-hmm.
You really couldn't tell. And some buddies of mine walk away, and she walks up to me, and she goes, and she's talking for a while, and she goes, I like big men. And I said, oh, that's nice. And she goes, no, I like big men. And I said, excuse me. And I went to the bar, and I got my keys for my car for the valet, and I just drove home. Because I could only imagine me calling my son a week later going, hey, you got to see this girl I met. You would understand everything, you know. I couldn't see anything positive out of the hottest girl that I could possibly imagine coming up to me and telling me that. I just had to leave.
Wow.
I had to leave, which was the best or most worst thing I've ever done in my life.
I don't know. Wow. I mean, yeah, it's you'll never know is the thing. Because, yes, maybe when it was all said and done, it would have been the greatest thing. But it could have turned out so bad. That, like, yeah, I have, like, that happened to me on a plane once. There was this hot girl in front of me on a plane. And I you know, was, I was chatted.
Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yes, it was.
Oh!
No, I wish. But you know, I'm
wearing a green jacket.
I thought, boy, if I'm going to have sex on a plane ever, this would be the time to do it, because this girl is cute. And I was all by myself. I was traveling by myself, no friends, nothing. And the plane was not that crowded. And I kept, like, trying to catch her eye. And at one point, I could tell she went to the bathroom to smoke, because she came back and she kind of smelled like smoke, you know. And I thought, okay, she likes to break rules, so that's a plus. And then at one point, she turned around and looked at me and smiled. And she, like, made the point to turn around and look at me. I guess she knew I was looking at her. And I smiled and looked away, and that was the end of it. Because I thought, boy, if I'm going to pull the trigger, I have to do it now. And I didn't. Yeah, I was married at the time, and I didn't. And I thought, again, I thought that could have been the greatest thing ever, or could have ruined my life. It's hard to tell which.
The third thing, because terrible story.
What's the third thing?
The third thing is you go, hey, are you? Oh, you're not. Okay, because that's probably what it was, right? Because you didn't even, because... The girl,
you mean I could have just talked to her and then saw that she wasn't interested in having
sex? Well, you could have even asked. She said, hey, you want to go have sex in the back? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, you're enjoying the fish? All right.
I wouldn't have asked in the middle of dinner.
Okay, good.
It reminded me of a funny story. We're watching previews for TV shows, and we're watching some shows, and Gracie's like, I don't want to see that show. I do want to see the show. And then a preview for that new Fly Girl show, whatever it is, about the stewardesses, comes on. And Gracie's like, I don't know about that. And I go, it looks kind of cool to me. And Zoe goes, what is it? About a bunch of people in the Mile High Club?
Wow.
And I go, what is the Mile High Club? And she goes, I don't know.
Wow.
She's like, she thought it meant frequent flyers, I think. Sure. She thought it meant people who fly a lot is what the Mile High Club is.
You know, someday this is what I think might happen. When your daughter is like in her 40s and she's talking to you about when she was a kid, she's going to go, by the way, when I was a kid, yeah, I knew what all that stuff was.
We were talking about going to see Planet of the Apes, and I said, the thing about the ape thing, if you make the apes smart, I mean, you know the problem with that is eventually they're going to get out of control, and eventually you're going to have to spank one of those monkeys, and that is going to be a problem.
It's true, dude.
You can't keep on spanking your monkey, because someone's going to have a problem with that. And that's a running joke. The kids love that joke.
I've seen you pull up to a kindergarten and just tell everybody the spank your monkey joke.
Well, when the movie was all over, I turned to Gracie. When we went and saw it, I turned to her and I go, you know what was missing, though? She goes, nobody spanked the monkey. I go, yeah! Why was that not in there? How do you make a movie about monkeys and no one ever spanks one?
My kid scared me one day. He was in the bathroom brushing his teeth, and he goes, Daddy, is smoking cigarettes illegal? It's like, no. Yeah, it's like, no, not if you're, you know, old enough. It's not. How about a J, Daddy? Is smoking a J illegal? He was six, right? Smoking a J. Where the hell are you here in this old school? Smoking a J. And I turned to my wife. It's exactly it, dude. He had heard that. Stepped outside and smoked myself a J. Yeah. It's like, what? I turned to my wife. Like, what is that? We were like, who's talking to him about smoking a J?
Oh, that's
must be somebody old talking to him about smoking joints. Somebody's going sexy. And my wife goes, it's the music. He's been listening to Paul Simon. Okay.
It's the music. And that's where do you hear about this drug music? Jay-Z? Snoop Dogg? Paul Simon.
Yeah. Because he made it, but he didn't know what it meant. I was like, you mean like smoking marijuana? He's like, yeah. Is that illegal?
Is there a retro pimp in our neighborhood?
What's up, retro pimp? My uncle was a pimp, guys.
Nice.
Yeah. On them for real?
He was a real sweet. Well, actually, it was my first cousin, Robert. I never knew. He'd always come down dressed up really nice. I lived in the South in Fayetteville, Georgia, Podunk Town. Mm-hmm. And he lived in Atlanta, and he always came down dressed nice. He always had big fancy car and guns. I was a little kid. I never knew, but like 3 years ago, it hit me like Robert was a pimp. He was a pimp. He always had these white women with him. Like, what is this guy doing? Like, he was a straight up real.
So the answer is he was doing it correctly.
He was, yeah.
He was
doing,
he was
a real life pimp.
He was making it work.
An uncle or a?
He was my first cousin, Robert. Okay, Robert.
Yeah. Yeah. He was making it work.
My uncle was a grifter who for a while couldn't come to our home because he wasn't allowed in the state. Or, to be fair, to be more truthful, he shouldn't come to the state or they'll have a place for him to stay.
Wow.
It's really funny.
So he always had to just kind of circle around the outskirts of the
state. Yeah, but he was like just a filthy con man. He was very entertaining, but yeah.
Wow.
Because when my grandfather got to this country, being Irish, no one would hire him. So they conned because they had to. Then when people were like, oh, the Irish are fine, he goes, yeah, but grifting's fine. So we're not going to stop grifting. So they just kept
grifting's awesome.
Yeah. It's
a cool name.
Irish
too.
Gypsy. All right. Cool name. Is that it? We ready to wrap it up?
I think so.
Okay, Jim, hit us with some comedy.
Websites that we covered.
The LA Comedy Shorts.
LA Comedy Shorts. Oh, and also, if you want to see some black people being funny, I'm at the Groundlings with a group called The Black Version, which is when we take a typically white movie and do the black version of it.
Nice. And what nights do you do that?
It's different nights, but check out the Groundlings website.
Go on their website and see the black
movie. It really is funny.
Who is in it with you?
Me, Cedric Yarbrough,
from Phil Lamar,
from Matt TV, Keegan Key and Futurama, Keegan Key and Jordan Peele from Matt TV, Danielle Gaither from Matt TV, I may have said everybody. I hope I did.
All right, this is a lot of funny people who happen to be black.
No, we're black by choice.
Oh, really?
Sweet.
That's nice.
The comedy thing is the birthright.
I ought to look into that.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to be black for a long time. This white thing is
honestly
not working for me.
If you want to be black, I can hook you up. And this is not a joke. I know a lot of people think I'm joking. I can hook you up.
Good. Because being white has not helped me at all.
I think you've done well as a white man.
I don't know.
Really?
Compared to the other white guys I know? No. I think I'd be much better off as a black man. Yeah. I'll tell you, I'd get more white women.
That's
for sure.
Get Indian right now. That's what you want to be right now.
Look at Mindy Kaling.
Steve Schneider, who's a local comic, has this joke. He goes, if the founding fathers could see me now, I think they'd be really disappointed with what I've done with my white birthright.
That is the only, like, my dad died a few years ago, and anytime I do something shitty, I always, at least my dad didn't see that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thank God he didn't see me suck that one.
All right, Jim, give us some hilarity and we'll go home laughing.
You know, I know you folks at home are tense in these politically turbulent times, and I know that I am as a fringe member of the Tea Party and a Republican. That's why I enjoy this delicious cup of tea brewed specifically for me. It's specifically for people who really aren't very comfortable with black people. It's specifically for people who have always hated the civil rights movement. This is the one tea for me, made with English tea leaves. You'll love this tea, especially if you hate civil rights leaders. So buy it today.
No idea what is going on.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to hear the name of that tea.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
And of course, it's named for one of our most, a very famous, oh, and if you might enjoy this tea from the balcony of a hotel as you do something that people will never forget.
Oh, I get it. It's that great, delicious tea that racists drink. James Earl Grey.
That's right.
Oh. Dang, I wanted to get that.
If you want to kill a famous civil rights leader and have a delicious cup of Pearl Tea, try the James Earl Grey.
James Earl Grey.
Oh, wow. That's one you, that's a picture. That's one you draw a picture of.
That is a good one. And even as a black man, I want that in my mouth.
Who doesn't? All right. That is the show. Check out LAComedyShorts.com. Go see the black version at the Groundlings if you're in town. Of course, contact me at paul@thekingoftv.com if you want to be in that trivia contest. Don't forget to listen. Next week is Paul F. Tompkins. And as always, please, go fuck yourself.